The battle over President Obama's health care overhaul has shifted from the Supreme Court to the ballot box. Over the weekend, Republicans sought to spin the Supreme Court's ruling to their advantage. They're pushing the idea now that the individual mandate is a tax increase on the middle class.
The president said it was not a tax. The Supreme Court, which has the final say, says it is a tax. The tax is going to be levied, 77% of it, on Americans making less than $120,000 a year. So it's a middle class tax increase.
That's Senator Mitch McConnell speaking on Fox News yesterday. Meanwhile, Republican state governors are looking to stall efforts to implement the Affordable Care Act in their states.
Every governor's got two critical decisions to make. One is, do we set up these exchanges? And secondly, do we expand Medicaid? And no, in Louisiana, we're not doing either one of those things. I don't think it makes sense to do those. I think it makes more sense to do everything we can to elect Mitt Romney to repeal Obamacare.
That's Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana. He was speaking yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press. Joining us now, our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. You know, Todd, listening to, I hope you didn't spend your whole weekend listening to political talk shows, but if you had,
God, you don't know me, Celeste.
It was a beautiful,
not the whole weekend.
It was a
enough
beautiful
of it.
Weekend, Todd. You need to get out into the sunshine. But if you did spend a lot of time listening to those talk shows, you would have heard a lot of things which, frankly, were not entirely connected with the facts that are facts checked. And my question here is not necessarily who's telling the truth, who isn't, but how does one turn, I guess, a massaging of what's really in the Affordable Care Act into votes in the ballot box?
Well, this what you heard Mitch McConnell doing and other Republicans doing on over the weekend and since the Supreme Court decision last week is really redefining the narrative about what the Affordable Care Act is. And Chief Justice John Roberts did throw them a pretty big bone there. Tax is a dirty word. The president did say that this is not a tax increase, and John Roberts in the ruling says it is. Now, the question
but Todd,
is how
Todd,
much...
Todd, you can't yes, accuse Roberts of handing the Republicans deliberately a campaign issue, right?
I'm not saying that he
they
did
didn't
because
consult
I'm not...
with Mitch McConnell there.
I don't
there,
think
yeah.
he was saying yeah. that. Go ahead, Todd.
No, except that the crux of the ruling says that Congress right. can do this under the taxing power. Now, you might respond and say, does it matter whether you call it a tax or a penalty or Jason or Steve? It's what they did, and what the court calls it and what the president calls it are two different things, and why does that matter? The CBO has chimed in on this. What Mitch McConnell said in that clip, that 76% of Americans will be paying this tax or penalty, is true, according to the CBO. But here's what he didn't say. The total number of Americans who will pay that tax, according to the CBO, is just 3.9 million in 2014. That's just over 1% of the population. And the other thing that Mitch McConnell didn't say is that they have a choice. Don't forget, the Supreme Court also recognized that this tax, to the extent that it is a tax for not doing something that the Affordable Care Act says you have to do. If you want to avoid the penalty, $690 or $700, all you have to do is get the insurance, which is subsidized for most people below $120,000. So Mitch McConnell did tell the truth, but he told only a portion of the truth. As Republicans, here's the important part, Celeste, try to redefine the narrative for the election about why it's so important to elect Republicans to the Senate and Mitt Romney, because he knows and they know that electing Mitt Romney and winning the Senate is the last, only chance to undo the Affordable Care Act before it is enshrined as an entitlement for a generation. If they don't undo it, repeal it, get rid of the mandate in this next election, they're not going to be able to do it, most likely, for many decades.
Okay, well, obviously, laying out what's at stake during the election. Also with us this morning, Politico White House reporter Reed Epstein. And Reed, I want to play this comment here from Chris Christie. This is during his monthly call-in show, Ask the Governor.
If there's any hard deadlines that New Jersey has to comply with or be in violation of the law, we'll comply with it. But I don't think you're going to see any of those between now and November.
What is he talking about there, Reed?
Well, what Governor Christie's doing is giving himself a lot of wiggle room. Basically to do nothing, because what the federal government has said, what the Obama administration has said, is that if states choose not to set up these healthcare exchanges that will be in place in each state under the Affordable Care Act, the federal government will do it for them. And it will do it for them by 2014 when the full breadth of the law goes into effect.
And I mean, what kind of leeway do they have after the law goes into effect? I mean, we've heard other governors saying they will not participate with the Medicaid expansion, for example. That's something the Supreme Court singled out. But that there are other things that are at the discretion of the states?
Well, the exchanges are really the heart and soul of what is, Republicans are labeling Obamacare now. In it, because each state has its own insurance regulations, its own laws governing health insurance, the law calls for each state to have its own exchange, which is essentially an online marketplace for people who are uninsured to get in, to buy insurance using the subsidies that Todd was talking about. And these will be set up. We've seen California, we've seen New York. I think the number is something like 13 or 14 states that have passed legislation either establishing exchanges or authorizing the establishment of exchanges. And states that have not done this will have the federal government set up what's more like a cookie cutter exchange for each state. The idea, what we heard Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius talk about on Friday, was the idea that each state should have an exchange tailored for its own citizens, for, you know, given that, you know, we know conditions are different in Texas than they are in Vermont than they are in Massachusetts, right, et cetera. And they, the Fed, the Obama administration would like each state to do this.
Right.
But as we've seen a lot of governors, a lot of state legislatures say they're not going to take part.
So, Todd, let me bring it back to you. How effective will this be? I mean, we've seen a lot of polling on the Affordable Care Act as a whole. How effective is it to tie it to a tax? Are people worried about tax increases coming into November?
Nobody likes a tax. It's a dirty word. The polls do show that most of the fervor for repeal is on the right. And you can imagine that most of the fervor for to be against the Affordable Care Act as a tax would probably be on the right. Both sides will fundraise off of this. How many independents will it swing? I don't know that independents are sitting around thinking about repeal of the Affordable Care Act or thinking about jobs in college.
Right.
But you can certainly fundraise off of this, and they will. It will give the race for the Senate new importance, because 50 or 50 plus one. We've talked about different rules in the Senate to repeal this. Republicans want to use special rules. They can't do it unless they win the election, and then they can try to repeal that mandate and repeal that tax, and it's their last chance to do it. Electing Mitt Romney and getting those Republican senators, Republicans know it's their last chance. They will fundraise off this like crazy.
Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick and Reid Epstein, White House reporter for Politico. Thanks to both of you.
Sure thing.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.